Here's what you need to know before we go anywhere else today. Congress just introduced a bill that on its face has nothing to do with the airplane sitting in your hangar, but stick with me, because the fingerprints on this one lead straight back to the same certification office that decides how long you wait for a supplemental type certificate, a new avionics box, or a fresh engine option on the airplane you actually fly. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower, and this is ADIS, the show where we take the headlines and give you the part the headline leaves out. Today we're talking about the Aviation Innovation and Global Competitiveness Act, a piece of legislation aimed squarely at how fast or how slow the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, moves when it certifies a new kind of aircraft. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's what actually happened. A bill moving through Congress, reported this week by AVWeb, carries the name the Aviation Innovation and Global Competitiveness Act. And the core of it is deceptively simple. It would require the FAA to publish a certification plan and a set of expected time ranges for advanced aircraft projects. Let me say that again, because the wording matters. Not a promise to certify anything faster. Not a mandate that says this aircraft will be approved by such and such a date. What the bill demands is transparency. A published plan, a published range of how long the agency expects the process to take. The target here is what the industry calls Advanced Air Mobility, or AAM. That's the umbrella term for the electric vertical takeoff and landing machines, the air taxis, the tilt rotors, the whole new class of aircraft that don't fit neatly into the certification playbook the FAA has been using for the last 50 years. And the frustration behind this bill has been building for a while. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. So, let me give you the backdrop. For the past several years, companies building these new aircraft have been saying, more or less politely, that they don't know where they stand. They pour hundreds of millions of dollars into a design. They fly demonstrators, they hit milestones, and then they run into a certification process that from the outside looks like a black box. Requirements shift, timelines stretch, and nobody can point to a document that says, here's the path, here's roughly how long each stage takes. Now, I want to be fair to the FAA here, because the agency is in a genuinely hard spot. When you certify a Cessna 172, you're working from decades of accumulated data, established airworthiness standards, and a very well-understood set of failure modes. When you certify an aircraft that has a dozen electric motors, distributed propulsion, batteries instead of avgas, and a flight profile that includes vertical takeoff in an urban environment, you are, in a lot of ways, writing the rulebook while the airplane is being built. That is legitimately difficult. The FAA is not dragging its feet out of laziness. It is being careful with a category of aircraft that has no track record. But here's the tension the bill is trying to resolve. Careful and opaque are not the same thing. You can be rigorous and still tell people where they stand. And that is really the heart of what this legislation is reaching for. It's not saying lower your standards. It's saying show your work. Now let's talk about the phrase in the bill's title that tells you what's really driving this. Global competitiveness. Because this is not happening in a vacuum. China has been pouring resources into exactly this category of aircraft. Several Chinese manufacturers have already received type certificates from their own regulator for passenger carrying electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. Europe's regulator, the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, has published a fairly detailed framework for how these aircraft will be certified on that side of the Atlantic. And the worry in Washington, stated plainly in the reasoning behind this bill, is that the United States invented a huge share of this technology, funded it, incubated it, and could still end up watching the first certified fleets fly somewhere else. Not because the American aircraft are worse, but because the American path to approval is harder to read. So when you strip away the legislative language, the message from Congress to the FAA is something like this. Publish the map, tell these companies, and tell their investors roughly how long this takes. Because uncertainty itself has become a competitive disadvantage. That's the story. Now let me do the thing we do on this show. Let me tell you why any of this matters to you. The person listening who probably has no intention of ever buying an air taxi. This affects you if you have ever waited on the FAA for anything. And I mean anything. A supplemental type certificate for an engine upgrade. A field approval. A new autopilot for your experimental. An avionics shop that can't give you a firm date because the paperwork is sitting in a queue somewhere. Every pilot who owns or maintains an aircraft has, at some point, run face first into the reality that certification timelines in this country are hard to predict. Here's the connection. The machinery Congress is trying to reform for air taxis is the same machinery that handles the rest of general aviation certification. When Congress starts demanding published timelines and transparent plans for one category, that expectation has a way of spreading. If the FAA builds the internal tools and the cultural habit of saying, here's the plan and here's how long we think it will take, that habit does not stay locked inside the Advanced Air Mobility Office. In other words, a win for transparency on air taxis could, over time, become a win for transparency on the modification you've been trying to get approved for your 1978 Piper. I'm flagging that as my read, not as a guarantee. That's opinion, and I'll label it as opinion. But it's an informed one, and it's the reason I think GA pilots should pay attention to a bill that looks at first glance like it's only about flying taxis over cities. There's a second reason this matters to you, and it's about the airspace you share. Because whatever you think about air taxis, and I know opinions in the pilot community, run the full range from thrilled to deeply skeptical, these aircraft are coming into the national airspace system. If they get certified, they will operate in and around the same terminal areas, the same corridors, the same Class Bravo and Class Charlie shelves you already fly through. How they get certified shapes how they'll be integrated. A rushed, opaque process that produces surprises is bad for everyone sharing that airspace. A transparent, well-documented process where the operating rules are clear before the aircraft show up in volume is the outcome that protects the traffic picture for all of us. So even the skeptics, and I'd count myself among the cautious, have a stake in this being done in the open rather than behind a curtain. Let me pull back for a second and give you the honest limits of what this bill actually does, because I don't want to oversell it. This is legislation that has been introduced. Introduced is a long way from signed into law. Bills like this get amended, folded into larger FAA reauthorization packages, stalled, revived, and sometimes quietly forgotten. So I'm not going to stand here and tell you the certification world is about to change next month. It isn't. And even if it passes exactly as written, remember what it requires: a published plan. Expected time ranges, that is a transparency mandate, not a speed mandate. The FAA could publish a plan that says this will take 4 years and be in full compliance with the law. The value isn't that things suddenly go faster. The value is that everyone can finally see the clock. But I'll tell you why I think that's still meaningful. And it comes down to something every pilot understands intuitively. When you're holding for an approach, the worst thing isn't the delay. It's not knowing the delay. Give a pilot an expect further clearance time and a solid number. And that pilot can plan, can manage fuel, can make decisions. Leave that pilot holding with no information, and the anxiety multiplies even if the actual wait is identical. That's what this bill is really about. It's an expect further clearance time for an entire industry. The wait might not get shorter, but you'll know what you're waiting for, and anyone who's ever managed a fuel reserve while holding knows exactly how much that's worth. So what should you actually do with this information? For most of you, the answer today is simply this: nothing urgent. Watch it, keep an eye on whether this gets rolled into the next FAA reauthorization, because that's the vehicle most likely to carry it into law. If you're a member of an alphabet organization, and I'd encourage you to be one, this is the kind of process reform worth a comment or a letter, because certification transparency is one of the rare aviation issues where the interests of the air taxi startups and the interests of the guy restoring a tail dragger in his garage actually line up. You both want a process you can read. And if you're in the business, if you're building anything that has to pass through that certification office, this bill is a signal worth reading closely. The political will to demand transparency is there. That direction of travel is worth planning around. Let me leave you with one thought that ties it together. Aviation has always advanced fastest when the path was clear. Not necessarily short, clear. The people who built the airplanes we love didn't succeed because certification was easy. They succeeded because they knew what the target was and could aim at it. This bill, whatever becomes of it, is an attempt to give the next generation of aircraft the same thing: a visible target, a published plan, a clock everyone can see. Whether Congress follows through is a story we'll be watching, and one I'll bring back to you as it develops. My thanks to Ave Webb for the reporting behind today's segment. You can always find us at RadioHangar.com. This is Tower, wishing you clear skies and a clear path through the paperwork. I'll see you next time on ATIS.